We are embarking on a new series this Sunday morning for the next seven, including this Sunday, seven. So we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. And today, just a brief phrase, Our Father in Heaven, really just camping on our Father. So as I look into this, harken back to the first time, as far as I know, the first time I tried to pray publicly. I was a brand new Christian. I was at Seattle Pacific. Maybe I was there for a month or two, and someone on our floor got cancer. And so just got a random knock on the door one day. Hey, we're heading down the hall. There's a prayer meeting in the lounge. I'd never been to a prayer meeting before. I had no idea what they were going to do to me in a prayer meeting. So we walked in, 20 guys or so, we circled up, and somebody seemed to be the leader, and he said, we're all going to hold hands and pray for John. And oh, man, hold hands with guys I don't even know. Wait, I've only been here a month. Come on now. Brand new Christian, and I'm holding hands with guys I didn't know. I'm trying to talk to a God I really didn't know yet. And the whole thing was awkward. And I remember opening my eyes and following this, and it looked like we were going in order. So I could count five more guys than me. What am I going to? Three more guys than me. And I'm trying to plan an exit strategy. You know, can I feign sickness? Can I fall on the ground, start barking, and maybe they'll just throw me out? And, you know, can I make a run for it? And then show back up at school in a couple of days. Okay, two more people, and it's me. Oh, what am I going to say? One more, and it's me. Oh, this is going to be bad. And so finally my turn, and I just quoted a couple of guys who were in the room already and had prayed certain things. And it seemed like we were saying, or the group was saying, they're repeating themselves. You know, there's cliches when you pray. So I said some of that, and the group went on, wow, I didn't die. Wow. Okay, maybe I can do this. Now, I'm thinking most of us have probably had experiences where we have been very self-conscious when we have prayed, particularly out loud into a microphone in front of other people. You know, some folks don't want to do that. Hear them pray really well, but put them in front of others, and the whole thing, the goodness goes away. The eloquence goes away. So we are looking at this prayer today. By the way, Matthew chapter 6 is the one I want you to go to. Jesus gives us a model. Fortunately for us, Jesus gives us a model. It's really simple and short. And you can feel the freedom to pray exactly these words. You can pray none of these words and pray other words of your own choice. But behind these words, there is some really rich and deep meaning and theology. I find that praying is very personal because you're bringing your belief system to God. And you're laying your soul bare. Well, unless you want to be superficial about it. But it can be very personal. You are talking to God in light of what you believe about his attributes and his abilities and your access to him. It's really quite an amazing experience if you think about it. So we would do well to walk through this and take our time. I know there have been excellent messages where you looked at all the Lord's Prayer in one sitting. We're going to take 7 weeks and go one phrase at a time, because I want some of this to, I don't want you to remember me and my notes or my messages to you and your notes. I want you to be able to camp on a key truth or two for each of these phrases, and hopefully it will change the way you pray. My goal here for you is for you to be more confident in your praying, more frequent in your praying. My goal is not for you to come up here and to pray to a whole bunch of people in front of into a microphone. I'm not concerned about, nor am I focused on your public praying. My goal is for you to simply be more confident when you pray in whatever venue that takes place. Could be the privacy of your own home. Could be on your knees silently. It could be here with other people, your brothers and sisters in Christ. But let's take a look at this. Jesus gives us this model, and I think all too often we approach these as some neat words that were written down a long time ago. Some of you have probably even sung this. It's been put to tune for a very long time. But there is some very rich meaning in here, and we do well to take our time and go through this. So here we are, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. It's right in a long, in the middle of a long discourse, a teaching that Jesus gave that we sometimes call the Sermon on the Mount. Now, here we are, just going to pick it up right in the middle of this paragraph. "This then is how you should pray," Jesus said. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Okay, so we're looking at our Father. In our weakness and in our need, we often begin our praying with subject matter that orients toward ourselves. Example would be if you're a parent and your child is sick, that which is foremost on your mind, perhaps even throughout the day, is going to be the illness of your child. And so it'd be assumed you're going to come before God, your Father, and the first thing from your lips will be, "Please take care of my child. Heal. Bring welfare, wisdom to the doctors." And you're going to pray with that kind of a concern. Or maybe it's not even an urgent thing. Maybe you're looking down the corridor of time and you're a parent. And you know what? Someday, little Johnny, who's 3, is going to date and marry and have a career. And so you're praying with vision, looking down the corridor of time. These things are going to transpire. They're not on my need list right now, but someday they will be. And so you come to God and you pray about these things. And I noticed in this prayer that Jesus gives to us as a model, he doesn't begin with needs that are pressing upon our hearts or even vision of things that we think are going to transpire someday. He begins with this sort of I think it's very freeing from a self-reliance, self-absorption, "Our Father." Begin your praying there. And it sounds like it's just an address, but it is so much more than an address. You're not just identifying to whom you are talking to. You are proclaiming who it is that's about to hear your prayer. "Our Father." Takes the focus off of that other Trinity, me, myself, and I. Our Father. The main thing I want you to hear this morning is that you can and should see God as your heavenly Father. He is not a great big vending machine where if you press the right buttons, out comes the thing that you've asked for. This is not a passcode. This is not a secret saying. Well, if you say it this way, God will give it to you the way you asked, or at least you'll get some of what you asked. Not that at all. This is not formulaic. This is not a formula or a code or password. This is Jesus describing the reality that is there. You can talk to God as your Father. He is your heavenly Father. Now, this term Father communicates several things, and I'm just going to point out 3 this morning. The first one is that God is personal. God is personal. He's not a power, but a person. God is not an impersonal active force like the wind, which is very powerful. And around here, in the winter, it rains a whole bunch, and then it's followed by even 50 miles an hour of wind, sometimes 60, and that can knock down a tree. You know, powerful gust of force that you cannot see. It's impersonal, but it's active, and it's powerful. God is not that. God is personal. He is a being. That means he has personality, and he can be grieved. He can also be pleased. He has a will. He has a desire. Do you know that? God has desires for you. And there are times when he is so pleased with you. His pleasure rests on you because you are his child. You pray to a God who is personal. He is capable of relationship, intimate, personal relationship. That's your Father in heaven. We have this deep desire for relationship that is present in our earliest days. I got to see some of this as a parent. My 2 boys, who are the oldest of the 3 kids, did almost exactly the same thing, and yet 4 years apart. So our oldest was 2 years old, and somehow I'm outside. I think I'm walking on a sidewalk, and he's not quite moving fast enough for me, so I picked him up just to pick up the pace. So I'm looking at where I'm going, I'm looking at him, where I'm going, looking at him, back and forth like that. This was back in the days when I was young enough to my eyeballs could actually handle contact lenses, and so I'm wearing sunglasses, dark glasses to him, dark enough he couldn't see my eyes. So he's telling me this story, and he wants me to be fully engaged, and I'm looking at him and where I'm going, back and forth. He can't see my eyes, and finally he just took my glasses off. Dad, I'm talking. Okay. Interestingly enough, the younger son did exactly the same thing 4 years later when he was two. Took my glasses off, sunglasses. I'm trying to talk to you right here. We have this deep desire to connect. We've been hardwired for relationship. God gave us that because he has that. God has the ability to relate, to connect with people, to listen, to hear, to respond, to understand. That's in the heart of our God, and he wants to hear from you. He's given you permission to call him God, to call him Father. How do you know God is listening? You don't have to pull the sunglasses. You don't have to pull back a veil. You don't have to have secret words or a passcode. How do you know God is listening to you when you pray? You know because his permission to you to call him Father is his assurance that he's going to listen to you. So embedded in this term, Father, yeah, he's personal, he has personality, but you need to understand, as you approach God, if you don't even remember this message and you don't have an opportunity, go back and look at notes or listen to this again. I hope you remember this. God, your heavenly Father wants to hear from you, and he's given permission for you to talk to him in a personal and intimate way. And that permission is, call me Father. This should give you confidence when you pray. Jesus has given you permission to call him Father. Well, a second idea attached to the title, if you will, the title of Father is access to God. Access to God. To be a child of God means you have access to him. You're in the family. You have access. For a Christian who's an average citizen of the United States of America, you do not have access to the President of the United States. For a Christian who's an average citizen of the United States, you have access to the Creator of the universe. Right now, I don't have free and full access to my Air Force son, Trent. He's on a military base in Dayton, Ohio. If I want to go visit him on the base, my name has to be on a list. And I'm going to be checked by an armed guard to make sure my name matches my government ID and it's on the list. And if Trent is in the building where he works, I can't get in for anything. When Trent walks into the building, he has to surrender his phone and goes in for that. I can't call him or text him during the day. Best way for me to access my son Trent is off hours when he's off the base. Even then, if I want to see him personally, I have to buy a plane ticket to Ohio. I don't have free and full access to my son Trent right now. I do have free and full access to my heavenly Father. He's given me permission to call him Father. It implies access. Jesus promised us access to God. Do you realize that Jesus' own favorite way of addressing God, the Almighty, the Powerful One, the Sovereign God, the Holy God, his favorite way of addressing God was to simply say, Father. We have that 50 times in the Gospel of John alone. Gospel of John and the other Gospels don't exactly, they're not verbatim. They don't copy each other per se. John has a lot of stuff that the others don't have, and the other Gospels have stuff that John, just in John alone, with those conversations that Jesus had, praying out loud or teaching or whatever, 50 times we have Jesus referring to God as his Father. The only time Jesus did not, in prayer, address God as Father was a very important time. There was one time, it's recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus addressed God, not his Father. he was praying, but he didn't call God his Father. It was on the cross. Toward the end of the Gospel of Matthew, which also happens to be toward the end of the earthly life of Jesus Christ, he was on the cross, and there was this dark period of time where Jesus stepped into the black hole of sin, and he was alone. And access to God was cut off. And Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that moment, he did not have access to God. Every other moment of the life of in the life of Jesus Christ, he had free and full access to his heavenly Father, but not at that moment. Did he do something to make God mad? Was there displeasure in his son who got himself crucified? Did something go wrong and God backed off? No, that's not it at all. What happened was God the Father chose to place your sins and mine on the person of Jesus Christ. It's the theological word impute or imputation. God imputed. He credited to Jesus. He actually, there was a transaction. God placed our sin upon the person of Jesus Christ, and then he unleashed his wrath upon Jesus while on the cross. And so Jesus was absorbing the judgment that was due to you and me on the cross. There were 3 hours of darkness in the land, and that just sort of represents this black hole, the darkness that Jesus was experiencing. He was cut off from God. And so appropriately, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He did not say Father at that moment because he was not being treated as if he were a son of God. He was being treated as if he were an outcast, which is what you and I deserve based on our sin. Jesus took that hit for you. Understand this well. Your privilege in praying to God as Father has come to you at a very high cost. But Jesus was privileged and pleased to pay that price. Father, don't take it for granted that you can call God in heaven your Father. This is where the gospel informs us. And this prayer that we have in the Gospel of Matthew, it reminds us that we can come to a holy God. We can ask a perfect God who is fearsome in his holiness to do our bidding. Not because we're so great, but because the gospel is a reality. Jesus has paid our sin. And he has invited us to come to God in prayer. The prayer of the forsaken is not something that you need to utter because it has already been uttered by Jesus on the cross when he was forsaken. Jesus did this so that you would never be forsaken and always welcomed in your Father's presence. You can look at it this way, and you should. You should pray with this kind of confidence. God will never not be your Father if you are a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. You will never not be God's child. God will never move against you in judgment, because he's already judged your sin in the person of Jesus Christ. That avenue of prayer remains open at all times. Now, you can distance yourself if you want, and you can run, and you can create a distance from God in terms of fellowship, but you can't break the relationship. You can't unadopt yourself. You just simply can't do that. You are a child of God as a believer in Jesus Christ. Always will be a child in God. This privilege of prayer, this access to God, will be granted to you for a lifetime. Now, that doesn't mean you can do anything you want. You are called to live a holy life. And God, as your heavenly Father who loves you, will move to remove the sin that you embrace which harms you. That might mean allowing you to endure some awful consequences. The natural God's natural reaction to sin is to want to remove it. He won't judge it because he's already judged your sin in Christ, but he will want to remove that and not allow it to linger and do you or others harm. Okay, so here's what we've seen so far in this great phrase, our Father in heaven, that I find right here in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, our Father in heaven. We've seen that God is personal. He has personality. He has emotion and will. He can be pleased. He can be grieved. He wants to relate to you. We've also seen that you have access to God, free and full access, anytime, anywhere. You can talk to God about anything, any way, any body posture. You could sing a prayer. You could speak a prayer. You could pray silently. Nobody hears it. God can handle and absorb all of that. But here's the third one. God delights to hear from you. God wants to hear from you. God delights. Your Father in heaven loves to hear your voice when you pray. Loves it. Loves it when you pray. You could stumble. You can stammer. You can ramble. You can say the wrong words, what you perceive to be the wrong words. You could pray all over the map. Your Heavenly Father delights to hear you pray, wants to hear your voice when you pray, loves it when you talk to Him. If right words needed to be said, I take it that in this model prayer, when Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray," if it were a matter of the right words, then Jesus would have told us the right words. You pray, umi, umi, gabi, gabi, this certain thing, and do that every single time, but we don't have that. This is a model. I take it that right words are secondary. God's heart is filled with joy when you call His name and not be out of obligation. Okay, I sent my son to the cross. I'll listen. Not that. He's delighted. I get an example of this every time one of my kids calls my wife. My wife reacts differently when she sees caller ID and it's one of our boys or our daughter. There's just a perkiness about it. There's a joy. And sometimes she even lets out a sort of a quiet shout, "Tyler, Jen, Katie," looking at the phone and realizing it's not an ordinary phone call when one of the kids calls my wife. And we even have one who lives in town, same reaction. The other phone calls, "Love you, mean it," don't have the same response as what I see when my kids call my wife. God's pleasure in hearing you talk to Him is like that. Your view of the fatherhood of God might be diminished because you live in a culture that does not like gender. Your view of the fatherhood of God might be diminished because of your personal experience with a father who is not that great of a father. Maybe absentee, maybe words said, things done that should have never been said or done. Maybe you didn't even have a father in the home. Your view of the fatherhood of God might be diminished because you are a dad and you're reminded on a near daily basis that it is not an easy task to be a father. In fact, you'd rather not be a father. Maybe even thinking that you're failing in the role of dad. For whatever reason, it could be that when Jesus says, "Call him your father," that just doesn't click with you. Okay, here's an approach that I'm going to suggest to you. Simply this. You can trust Jesus on this one. Jesus lived in a messed up culture with messed up people and messed up role models for the term father. In that culture, Jesus chose this term and said, "Call God your father." Boy, if ever there was a situation where we could have this corrected and realigned, it was this situation. Son of God on earth, the perfect Son, said, "Call him Father." And this was in a culture that Jesus had stepped into that was anything but perfect. It's not like they had it down pat back in the day. It's not like this was a recreation of the Garden of Eden prior to sin, and Jesus walked in and said, "Boy, these men are doing so good. When you think of God, think of them. When you look at them, think of God." It's not like that at all. Jesus stepped into a messed up culture with messed up people who had messed up fathers and messed up role models for the term of father, and still he said, "Call God your father." Perhaps one reason why Jesus taught us to pray to God as our father is to call your attention to your need for the one and the only perfect Father that you have access to. Many of us, most of us, have access to a Father who's not so perfect. No, nobody's perfect except your Heavenly Father. And so it could be that one aspect of calling Him Father is Jesus knows every time you say that, you will be reminded of how much you need a Father in your life who is perfect. It could be for some of you that coming to God as your Father is part of the process of healing that you need to embrace. That there actually is someone in the role, the title called Father, who can care for you and love you and provide for you. And so when you pray this way, you are reminded, and it could be this is healing every time you say that. Don't avoid this term if this term has been hard for you. You can call Him God, you can call Him Lord, you can call Him other things, but it could be that you need to step into this. Trusting Jesus on this one, Heavenly Father, and begin your praying like that. If you need to go further, I would suggest Luke chapter 15 has the parable of the prodigal son, which is a great picture. It's a made-up story, but it's true to life. Jesus told parables to help us to see word pictures and understand the goodness, greatness of God. Parable of the prodigal son is excellent. It shows a father with two sons, very different kind of sons, and yet he loves them both. He has moral boundaries, but he still loves his son, and when moral boundaries are violated, he still loves his sons. He wants them to come back, and one of them is a prodigal and leaves and insults the father as much as you can possibly insult a father in the ancient world, and still this father looks for and longs for his son to come home. That's the father that you need to look at. Parable of the Prodigal Son, chapter 15. Please receive this biblical teaching. God is for you, and because he's for you, you can call him your father. God will always, always, always be for you. He will never be against you. He will not judge you because your sin has been judged in the person of Jesus Christ already. He is for you, always and perfectly for you. This is where the gospel informs us. Bad news of the gospel, you are a sinner by birth and by choice. Good news of the gospel, if you're a Christian, you have been saved by the grace of God. You are a sinner saved by grace. And in the context of that relationship, God can always be for you. Might send to you some hard discipline, but God will always, always be for you. You have been adopted into God's family, and you get to call God your Father. Now, if you want to individualize it, you could say, my Father. You don't always have to say, our Father who art in heaven, and plow it through that way. You can personalize it, and you can say, my Father. Now, just taking that at face value, the word are or my, the words are or my, that implies ownership. There's a connectivity there that's deeper than I belong. You can understand, and you've probably felt this way or thought this way before, you belong to God. But when you say, our Father or my Father, do you realize that God belongs to you? Not everybody in the world gets to say, our Father or my Father. Not only do you belong to God, but God belongs to you. Our Father, my Father. This would be yet another reason to pray this out loud. What a great reminder of the fact that this relationship is secure and lasting. You get to talk to him knowing that he belongs to you. And that's not going to change either. This should bring you confidence when you pray. knowing that God is delighted to hear from you, wants to hear from you, views you as someone that he not only can, but should listen to. That word our Father, is plural, which means there's a whole bunch of us who know God, followers of Jesus Christ. And not only do we belong to God and God belongs to us, but also we belong to each other. There's a Christian man over here and he belongs to God and God belongs to him. There's a Christian woman over here and she belongs to God and God belongs to her. And there's a Christian man over here and he belongs to God and God belongs to him. And then there's me and I belong to God and God belongs to me. And we're all in this together. We all belong to God. We all belong to each other. So when you pray out loud with Christians, you are praying with your brothers and sisters in Christ. One of the ways you can actually build confidence in your praying, your quiet times, your alone times with God, is you can pray with your brothers and sisters in Christ out loud, and they can pray with you out loud, and you get to hear how they are responding to God and what they think of God and how they are relating to God and what they are asking for in a relationship with God, and you the same. One of the ways to build confidence is just simply pray with other people. And I suppose there's an aspect of that which can work if you gather together and pray with people silently, but how much better to pray with them out loud and to verbalize what you're experiencing in your relationship with God. Now, to be clear, Jesus gives you as Christians, followers of Christ, the permission to call God Father, but he does not give that to everybody. I know there's a song out, Red and Yellow, Black and White, they're all precious in his sight. Jesus loves all the children of the world. Okay, there's a sense in which God is the creator of everybody, and God is the author of life, and so everybody owes their existence to God the Father. However, there's a stronger aspect of this. There's a subset of all those who have ever lived on the face of the earth, those who belong to God, who have been adopted into his family through the person of Jesus Christ. They have the privilege of coming to God, knowing that they belong to God and he belongs to them, and they can call God Father. Not everybody has that privilege. So take your Gospels, if you will, your Bibles, if you will. Turn to the right to the Gospel of John. We have an excellent example of this, Gospel of John chapter 8. Jesus is in contention with the religious leadership. It's not something that he was begging to have happen, but it did happen. So Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 42. A long conversation. Actually, all of John 8 is a conversation that Jesus is having, and it's getting heated up by the time we get to 42. It's very contentious. And so there's accusations made against Jesus, and in verse 42 he says this: Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father," okay, that's really, really clear. If God were your Father, these are people who are born, right? They have the gift of life given to them. They're human beings walking around. And then Jesus calls them out saying, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God, and now I am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. And so because Jesus is on mission from the Father, he's saying, you know what, if you guys can't accept me, what you're really doing is you're rejecting God the Father. Okay, so now turn to the left in your Gospels, to Gospel of Luke chapter 10. Turn to the left, Gospel of Luke chapter 10, and we'll pick it up at verse 16. Jesus sends out 72 and there to go, and it's like a short-term mission trip, and he's giving them some instructions with that. And so this is just before they go on their mission trip, and he says this in Luke chapter 10, verse 16. He who listens to you listens to me. So he's sending them out as his ambassadors, his representatives, right? And they're going to experience, some of them will experience acceptance, some rejection, and he's telling them, if they listen to you, they are in essence listening to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But now he takes it one step further. Watch this. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. And who is it who sent Jesus? That would be the Father. To reject Jesus is to reject the Father. You cannot reject Jesus and accept the Father who sent Jesus at the same time. This gets into some of the, specificity of Christianity. Some people call it narrow or intolerant. Well, Jesus is being very specific that God has always existed as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so if you're looking at God in the Old Testament, for instance, to this day, people will say, well, Jews just need to catch up with us. They're worshiping the same God, but just in a different name, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I would say, no, because God eternally exists as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. If you reject Jesus, you reject the Father. You're rejecting who God is at that point. You can't just name it a different name and get to the same place or arrive at the same God. Words matter. Beliefs matter. Jesus is saying, if they reject me, they're rejecting my Father. So this term Father is a privilege given to the children of God, privilege given to Christians, privilege given to the followers of Jesus Christ. It's not a privilege given to everybody just because you happen to be alive. Big difference there. So even if you don't remember a lot of the detail of that, I hope you recognize this. When you come to God in prayer and you call him Father, that is a deep privilege that has come to you at high cost, the cost of Jesus Christ and his life. Not everybody gets to pray that way. Now, you may have noticed as we turn back to Matthew's gospel and take a look at that prayer, you may have noticed, and maybe you even noticed this before, that as you read through that prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, kingdom come, will be done, earth and the debts and temptation, deliver us from evil one, and then it just sort of goes away. You may have noticed that it doesn't end with, in Jesus' name, amen. And yet how many of us were taught to pray that way? Well, you started with this and you ended with that and then you put some stuff in the middle. But you got to end it with, in Jesus' name, amen. But this is the model prayer and it doesn't end that way. What's up with that? Reacting to this theme in Scripture, you need to recognize that if you can actually get to a place where you can honestly call God your Father, you've gotten there through the person of Jesus Christ. If you can come to God and you can ask him, you can come to him, you can call him your Father, the only way you can arrive at that place is through the person and the merit of Jesus Christ. You can't get there any other way. To call God your Father is to come in the name of Jesus. It's one and the same. We're the ones who break it out and we think, it's got to be a formula. Magic words here, magic words here, your stuff in the middle. No, it's not like that at all. You get to call God your Father because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. And you receive that as a package deal. John Calvin said it this way, there is no other way to call God Father other than through Jesus. Now, when I pray in front of the church, I am careful to pray in Jesus' name because I want us all to remember that. But as I look at the model prayer of Jesus, I don't see me having the burden of, I have to do it that way. But I want to do it in this room. When I pray publicly, I often close with something like, and I bring this prayer in Jesus' name because I want us all to hear that we are forgetful people. It's not in my merit that I pray. It's not like God's going to listen to me because I have better words than you. It's not like I have the microphone and so I own prayer for this hour. Not that at all. I come to God on behalf of you, with you, in the name of Jesus, and actually, whether I say it that way or not. See, you can also look at the beginning of this prayer. It says, Jesus said, pray this, our Father. How many of us approach God and we don't say that? I don't know how many times I've said, dear God, or our great and glorious God, our gracious God. I might say something like, Lord God. Some of you combine it with Father and you say, Father God. Well, where's that in the Lord's Prayer? See, how picky do you want to be on names and words and such? Realize that what's behind this is deep, rich, theological truth. You get the privilege of coming to God anytime, anywhere, to talk to Him about anything because of the merit of Jesus Christ, not your own merit. And so that privilege always stays open. You can blow it as much as you want to blow it, as much as you don't want to blow it. You can blow it big time. You can come to God anytime. Probably your first thing, in case you have, in the situation where you have blown it, probably the first thing you ought to do is deal with that before God and not get into wish list. Here's a piece of confidence for you when you pray. You don't have to get an A when you pray. Your prayers aren't graded because there are no grades in grace. The privilege of praying is a privilege of grace. And God does not grade you when you pray. Do you realize that when Jesus prayed, my Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me? One of the Gospels tells us he said the same words three times. Couldn't think of a more eloquent way to say that. Yeah. As you just get raw emotion. The Father heard the Son's heart. That's what he wants to hear from you. Not your words of eloquence. God just wants to hear your heart. I think you can do this. I think you can totally do this. You have access to God. You have the privilege of being heard by God. And you get to call this awesome, almighty, majestic, and mysterious God. You get to call him Father. Wow. Let's pray together, shall we? Dear God, we thank you that you saw fit to have these words recorded in Scripture and written down accurately from generation to generation so that we might hear it today and benefit from it. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to build our confidence in this great avenue that we call prayer, that we would seek you more often than we do, and talk to you more often than we do about anything and everything, that we would come to you as a child coming to a Father, a perfect Father, trusting you at all times with our needs, our wants, and our vision. Lord God, as a collective body here, as brothers and sisters in Christ, move us and work with us until we get to the point where it can be truly said of us that we are a praying church. Thank you for the gift of this day and for the gift of prayer. And I bring this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.